147. We're going to look at the first six verses, and we're going to actually read from the screen simply because I found that if you keep up with what's on the screen, it keeps us more in unison. So if you'll just read from the screen, please. Shall we begin? This month, along with last Sunday, my overall theme, my umbrella for preaching, will be raising the praise. And so this Sunday, I want to talk to you from this subject, and I'd like for you to take your neighbor by the hand and look at your neighbor, if you will. And I'm going to tell you that I struggled with this subject because of the first word in this subject. Simply because this is a word that I choose not to use, but I find it appropriate this morning for this sermon. So look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, neighbor, ain't a thing wrong with praising the Lord. Ain't a thing. Ain't a thing wrong with praising the Lord. Who wouldn't praise a God like we have? You tell me, who wouldn't praise a God like we have? Let me tell you that this morning, all around the world, Christians have gathered together to worship the one, the real, the true, and the only God that there is to really worship. And when I talk about God, I'm talking about, so that I make sure that we're on the same page, I'm talking about the God that King David is writing about in this psalm. I'm talking about the God who is able to sustain us and keep us no matter what we're going through in our lives. I'm talking about the one who is able to strengthen you when you're weak. I'm talking about who wouldn't serve and who wouldn't praise a God like our God. The one who's able to pick you up when you're down. Who wouldn't serve a God like our God? The one that's able to deliver you in times of trouble. Who wouldn't serve a God like our God? The one who's able to put food on your table. Who wouldn't serve a God like our God? The one that's able to put clothes on your back. Who wouldn't serve a God like our God? I just love to talk about the one who saved me. All around this world, Christians have made their way to meet together with one purpose and with one goal, with one heart and with one spirit, and the very spirit of Christ. And the only spirit who unites us together when we come together in spirit and in truth. And this is the amazing part, that the same God that's present at the Shiloh Church this morning is present at the Hill Chapel Church this morning. The same God that's present this morning is present at the Good Faith Church this morning. He shows up wherever you show up. And not only does he show up where you show up, but he'll show out on your behalf whenever you show up and show out on his behalf. But listen, we have got to become sincere praisers. Amen. We have got to become worshipers, and we have got to become praisers. Now, let me ask you something. I'm just going to ask you this, and I don't mean to offend anybody, but I just need to know if I can get in your business for just a few minutes. Can I just ask you a simple question? And I know I'm nosing in your business. And here's my question. You can answer to yourself. You don't even have to tell your neighbor. You can answer it within yourself. If you did not come here to praise and worship God this morning, what did you come up in here for? What did you get up? Take your PJs off, get a shower, do your hair, put on your makeup, brush your teeth. What did you come up in here for if you did not come in here to praise God? Why come in here if you didn't come to praise? The only reason that you came in here was because you came to praise and to worship our God. Somebody talk back with me this morning. You should have come in here to praise and worship our God. And I told you last Sunday, and I'm going to tell you probably every Sunday this month, nobody ought to have to beg you to praise God. Nobody ought to have to beg you. When you think about the goodness of God and all God has, somebody help me. When you think about all that God has done for you, how can you not praise him? You ought to raise the praise this month. So how many of you come in here to worship in spirit and in truth? Can I share something with you? When you worship God, you have to worship God with an I don't care attitude. Now, can I talk about I don't care attitude? I don't care if I get on your nerves. I don't care if I bother you. I don't care if I'm driving you crazy. I don't care if I'm overboard for you. I don't care. Because if I'm bothering you that much, somebody raise your hand if there's a seat next to you that somebody could squeeze in. Then you may want to move into that seat that sister just raised her hand and said, it's a seat over here. But you're not going to block my praise. Somebody help me out. You're not going to block my praise, because I'm going to praise God anyhow. We have to be careful, church. Just let me set this up. We have to be careful that we did not just come here for fulfillment. Okay? We didn't just come here for fulfillment. Now, Pastor, what do you mean by fulfillment? I want you to understand that some folks are just like the little boy that went to school every day. He showed up every day and had perfect attendance for every day. Did not learn a thing, but he answered the roll present every day. Some of us just show up for church so that we can go to work tomorrow and say, yes, I went to church yesterday. But if they ask you, what did you gain from it? How has your life been changed? You don't have an answer. And I'm telling you that I'm leading and I'm driving you, and I'm going to push you to get better and better about your praise and about your worship and about your learning. And I'm not going to give up until there's a movement in this house, because we can do better than we're doing. But we got to have some praise on the inside. We got to have some I ain't scared on the inside. We got to have some I ain't ashamed on the inside. Church folks are just like that little boy. We just come in here and check in. Well, if that be the case, we might as well set up a drive-through computer and you just check in and say, I came by. I didn't get anything out of here, but I just came by here. And let me tell you what blocks your worship. Are you ready? Let me tell you something. The reason some of us cannot praise and worship the way we need to is because we come in here with baggage. So I'm going to ask you to start checking your baggage before you come in here. Check your baggage before you come in here. How many of you know baggage costs? How many of you know baggage costs? If you don't believe baggage costs, check with American Airlines and see if baggage doesn't cost. Baggage costs. My brothers and my sisters, as good as God has been to us, we should not come in here focused on the minor problems that we face, because we all have some problems. We all got some issues. How many of us can be honest and admit that we all have some issues to deal with in our lives? Listen to me, listen to me. The reason I don't want you to focus on issues is because issues can keep you from getting what God has in store for you. Instead of you always talking about your issues and your problems, why don't you tell your problem, instead of talking about, I got big issues, I got big problems, why don't you tell your big issues and your big problems how big your God is? Somebody talk back to me. Why don't you talk to your problem? Why don't you talk to your problems every now and then? Tell your problem, get over and sit down, because I don't have time to deal with you. I may have to get with you later, but right now I'm on my praise break, and don't interrupt me while I'm on break. Is there anybody in the house that can give God a praise break right now? And let me tell you, you got to get out of the business of complaining. Get out of the business of complaining. Get out of the business of belly aching. It's easy to complain and ask why this has happened to us again. I have to question a question for you. If something is going to happen to somebody, then who better to happen to than the children of God? It's when you get your praise on while it's happening to you that other people are able to see what God can do in your life. I just need to ask. I don't need a lot of folks, but if I just had three or four people that could be a witness and say, listen, I have gone through some things in my life, but the way I got out of what I was going through is I praised my way out. I just need three or four people that can say I praised my way out. I just need three or four people that can say who you sitting by don't look like what who you sitting by been through. I just learned how to praise my way out of some stuff. What did I tell you last Sunday was the highest praise? Well, then you ought to give him one right now. You ought to give it to him right now. You ought to just give it to him right now. All over the house, there ought to be some hallelujahs over the house. You ought to give him the highest praise. Because when you're going through, this is what I've discovered. I have discovered that in my struggles, listen to me, in my struggles, I have actually decided and come to understand that there is a lesson being taught to me in my struggles. God is always teaching me something in my struggle. On yesterday, I did a funeral for a 23-year-old young man. And there was a boy sitting on the end, and it was the brother of that 23-year-old young man. 55 years ago, I sat in a church, and I sat on the end just like that young man did. And you know, it was then that God said to me, that the Spirit said to me, for we know that all things work together for good I did not know when I was going through 55 years ago when my brother was killed by a drunk driver. I did not know that I would have the heart to walk over to him and say, listen, young man, it's going to be better. Things are going to get better. I know the day is heavy, but things are going to get better after a while. They did for me, and if God did it for me, God will surely do it for you. See, sometimes we sit when we need to open our mouths. Can I get somebody to hear me? Sometimes we sit when we need to open our mouths and just speak some things over some people and speak some things into some people's life, because God is trying to teach you something in your struggle. So I say, let's praise God this morning. Will you praise him with me today? Let's look at the first verse of the 147th Psalm and see what we can learn together this morning. First of all, it begins by saying, praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and how fitting it is to praise him. Now listen, the Bible says that praise the Lord. For it is good to sing praises to our God, for he is gracious and loving. Praise, let me tell you, it says is comely. In other words, praise is beautiful. Praise is attractive. Praise is just appropriate. There is just nothing more beautiful to me than watching people praise the Lord. Is there anybody feeling me in the house? Is there anybody understanding me in the house that it is a beautiful thing to praise the Lord? Psalms 147 helps us to see why praising the Lord is so beautiful. For you see, we have got to learn to operate in our gifts. We've got to learn to operate in our gifts. See if this makes any sense to you. I was trying to come up yesterday in preparing this message with an example that might make sense to you. When I tell you, you got to operate in your gifts, let me see if I can get you to understand this. This is the example that I came up with. It may not be a good one, but I'm going to try it out on you anyway. There is no reason why I should load my microwave oven with dirty dishes, add dishwashing liquid to it, close the door and press start. My microwave was not created to wash dishes. There's no reason why the children of God ought to come in church, fold their arms, zip their lips, because you were not made to sit quiet. You were made to make some noise. You were created to make some, you were created to worship God. Work in your calling, work in your assignment. You were created to worship God. We were created to praise God with all that is within us, with every fiber, with everything that's within you. You ought to praise God. And no doubt in my mind that God created us with this awesome capacity to worship him, to praise him, to honor him. Listen to me when I tell you this. Praise is in your DNA. Praise is in your DNA. If I want to know if my child is my child, then they can find out through my bloodline, through my blood and her blood. You have worship in your DNA because you were created by God to worship his son, Jesus Christ. Praise is wrapped up in who you are as humans. We were created to get excited. We were created to praise God. We were created to worship God. Now listen to me, that's how we were created. But don't you forget this. Don't you forget when God created Adam and Eve, keep this in mind, when he created Adam and Eve, they had this perfect, sinless relationship that was the center of of worship of their God, their creator. And as we know, sin stepped in, and the fall has brought about a break in that perfect relationship with God. And sin has many ways moved our praise away from God to other things, mostly other people and ourselves. I've seen people that God has healed. I've seen people that God has laid his hand on. And here's what kills me. They come to me and tell me, you need to try Dr. Philip because he is the best doctor in the world. He healed me. Lord, have mercy. I can't deal over that. Let me come over here with some people. I can't deal over that. I'm sorry, I'll be back after a while. I ain't left y'all. But I got to come over here and deal with some people that understand it was not Dr. Phil that healed them. No. You got to get your praise on when God has done something for you. You can't give nobody else credit for what God has done in your life. You got to give God the praise. Now I'm going to come back over here. Because there's some students you have to review over what you're going over. You can't give the praise to anybody else. You got to give God the praise for all that God has done in your life. Is there anybody feeling me in the house today that can say, had it not been for the Lord on my side, I wouldn't have this fire that I got on the inside of me? Somebody needs to praise the Lord. But we'll give praise to everybody else. We're going to give praise to everybody else. We'll give praise to everybody else. We'll root for everybody else. We'll holler for everybody else. But not the one that saved us. Not the one that filled us. Not the one that renewed us. Not the one that stood by us. We don't want to open our mouths for him, but we'll praise everybody else. I'm just putting it out there. I'm just putting this out there. And you, if it fits, wear it. I want you to hear me. You and I will go into a restaurant and we'll get out our phones trying to calculate what an 18% tip is for a waitress. Hello, that didn't buy the food, didn't cook the food, just brought it and delivered it and put it on your table. And yet when I can't deal with y'all. Let me go over here. I can't deal with them. Y'all gonna get this. We will tip 18% and then go to church and get mad because the preacher said that the word says that we ought to bring 10% into the house. Don't get mad at me. Somebody talk back to me in here today. Somebody come talk with me today. You ought to be praising the one that woke you up this morning. The one that started you on your way. The one that gave you air to breathe. That's the one you ought to be praising. Let's just have a keep it real moment. Can we have a keep it real moment? Can we have a keep it real moment? See if you get this. I'm going to say two things that I'm going to see how we react. And I want you to react according to how you feel today. Amen. So here we go. Since your team most likely not a saint, not a cowboy, you not doing anything today but sitting on the couch, then I'm going to say something else. Here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to say Chiefs. Let me say that again. We ain't keeping it real on this side. I can't deal with y'all. Let me go over here. I can't deal with y'all. I got to come over here. Chiefs. Let me try this. 49ers. Let me come back over here. 49ers? 49ers? Chiefs? Chiefs? 49ers? See how excited we get when it comes to other folks? I just set you up to see how we holler and scream for other folk. But when it comes to God, good God Almighty, when it comes to God, good God Almighty, when it comes to God, good God Almighty, when it comes to God, when it comes to God. Watch this. Watch this. This evening, we will see a stadium this evening that will shake with praise in Hard Rock Stadium in Miami Gardens, Florida. Check this out. The Super Bowl tickets, and I had several people research this because I didn't believe this could be true. The cheapest Super Bowl ticket that we could find was $4,308. And there are some Super Bowl tickets that the seat costs more than our combined tithes offering and Sunday school collection this morning. Some tickets are in the six figures for folks to go and scream and holler at the Super Bowl. And here's the point I don't want you to miss. Are you ready for it? Are you ready for the point I don't want you to miss? And one team is guaranteed to lose. Somebody talk back to me. And one team is guaranteed to lose. And when you come in here, everybody is guaranteed, if they want to, somebody talk with me. Get with me. Everybody. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now hear me when I tell you this. There ain't nothing wrong with getting excited, because we were made to get excited. We were made to be enthused. We were made to give praise. Check this out. The question is not if we are going to praise in our lives, because I believe that we will all give praise. The question is, who or what are we going to give praise to? Tell your neighbor, as for me. Don't you repeat this if you can't repeat this, so let me say it first. Tell your neighbor, as for me, I will praise the Lord. Now don't you say that if you're not gonna do it. I will praise the Lord. As for me, I will give God praise. As for me, I don't care what you say, I'm gonna give God praise. As for me, you can't stop me from praising God. As for me, I will lift up my voice unto him. I will shout hallelujah unto him. Well, preacher, I'm at a different place in my life this morning, brother preacher. So I ain't where you are, and I couldn't state that I will praise the Lord. Well, let me see if I can give you a few reasons why you ought to praise him. It was he who got you up this morning. But preacher, I understand that, but what you don't understand is I didn't have a good night's sleep. You ought to be able to say, I thank you that I'm in my right mind and know I didn't sleep well. Somebody talk with me. I thank you that I got enough sense to know I didn't sleep well, because if some folks didn't sleep at all last night and don't even know they didn't sleep, somebody talk with me if you will. Yes, sir. So we were created to praise God. We were created to praise God. And I think we need to get beyond the idea of just praising God with the things that we do, even though that's part of it. We need to be able to praise God with who He is and who we are because of who He is. We praise God with every choice that we make, because the choices that we make are what determines that people will be, what people will become. Who are you giving praise to? As Christians, when we are in an intimate relationship with God, it should be a no-brainer as to who is going to receive our praise. But my brothers and sisters, we all know it's not automatic. Praise is a choice. I choose to praise the Lord. I choose to praise the Lord. Listen, as we praise God, and as we give Him honor and we give Him glory, what does He do for His people? That's a good question. So let's look this morning at what David says in verses 2 and 3. David says that the Lord builds up Jerusalem, He gathers the exiles of Israel, and He heals the brokenhearted, and He binds the wounded. So when you praise God, when you give God praise, what you do is your faith activates and moves God to start moving more in your direction. So you wonder, why is it that it looks like Sally is always getting blessed? Well, notice this. Sally is the one always praising God. But what you don't know is Sally is not praising because of what Sally has, because Sally was praising before Sally ever received what she has. That's what you got to be able to do. You got to praise God for stuff you ain't got yet. Try that again. Try that again. You got to start praising God for stuff you don't have yet. I don't even have it yet. Hey, but I'm praising God for it. I'm thanking God for it, and it hadn't even happened. Check ain't in the mail. Bank account is empty, but I'm still giving God praise. Is there anybody can praise God as they call it on credit? You don't even have it yet, but you saying thank you in advance. Praise Him. Because God is always, always, always demonstrating His love to His people. We got good news this morning. Our God is a builder, y'all. And when Jerusalem was invaded and no stone was left on another, God promised to build it back. And God has always loved His people. And in the Old Testament, that is represented to us through Israel and His unending love for them. Even when they turned their backs on God, He never, ever turned His back on them. If the truth be told, there's some of us, whether we intentionally did it or did not intend to do it, we have turned our back on God. What do you mean, preacher? When you look for your strength from somewhere else and forgot who your source is, trying to find your resources, you just turned your back on God. When you forgot to give God praise openly for what God has done, you just turned your back on God. Somebody needs to turn back to God this morning. Matter of fact, there's somebody that hadn't even taken time to give God praise this week. So what I'm going to do is take a station break, and I'm giving you 10 seconds to get to your feet and give God a praise for everything you missed praising Him for last week. Can you give God praise? At least raise your hand and say, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. I put forth an effort in these last 2 weeks. I put forth an effort in these last 2 weeks that I was going to be a different person, that I was going to change some things in my life, that I was going to add some more praise time to my life. And I've been amazed at how God has opened doors these last 2 weeks for me to share with various people about what Jesus is doing in my life. I'm telling you, and in the life of our church. And therefore, I'm going to leave you with something this morning. I challenge you to set your phone alarms for 12 noon every day to be a reminder to pray and reach out to some person and tell that person, even if it's by text message, how good God has been to you. This week, I got a text from one of our choir members, and our choir member said in that text, "When I look at how good God has been to me, I can't help but praise him." Girl, you don't know. You set me on fire. You said to me, "I'm with you and I'm praying and I'm on the same station you on." I want you to start at 12 noon. If you're talking to somebody on the phone, don't lose your job. But if you're talking to somebody on the phone that you can stop and have prayer with, you tell them, "I'm sorry, but it's 12 noon. And at 12 noon, I have a conference call with the Father. And I got to spend just a little time on the conference call with the Father. Will you give me, matter of fact, why don't you find you before you leave here a noon prayer buddy, and y'all call one another and start giving God some praise and some prayer over the phone and see what God won't do to just ignite our church and set our church on fire. You got to commit yourself to the Lord." I was on the phone the other day with my sister, and my alarm, my buzzer went off. And I said, "Sis," I said, "I don't mean to interrupt. She just called." And I said, "I don't mean to interrupt, but could you just join me in prayer?" I said, "This is what I do at noon daily." I didn't know why she was calling. And my prayer was this: "Father, I just thank you for the Shiloh Church. And I pray your anointing upon us. As pastor of this church, it is my prayer that you will always keep me humble and keep me at the foot of the cross. I pray that you will never allow me to be high-minded, never to think too much of myself, but stay in the role of an humble servant. And I just ask this prayer in Jesus' name." My sister said to me after I finished praying, she said, "Well, brother, forget the reason I called. I'd sent her a video when I was on Channel 8 and Channel 11 during the news, and she was saying, 'I didn't know you were celebrity status, and here I'm asking, praying for God to keep me humble.'" She said, "Forget I even called you. Your prayer done changed my mind. Your prayer done messed me up. Your prayer done changed my mind." She said, "Wouldn't it be wonderful if all of God's children set their clocks off at noon? Y'all better watch what's going on around you. This world that we're living in is a sin-sick world. I'm watching folks in high places do some terrible things, but I still know somebody that's higher than he, that's higher than they, and I have to give God praise, and I have to talk to him, and I have to be in commune with him." I leave you with this, and I'm going to my seat. My family brought me up to always praise and to always worship. But sometimes the way you're brought up is not exactly the way you do. So every Sunday morning, my father would drive us to church. And we would get to the intersection of Clinton and Gregg Street in Fifth Ward, going to church. And my sister and I would be in the back seat, and we would say to each other, "Green light, green light, green light, green light, green light, green light. Hurry up and change. Green light, green light, green light." Why did we say green light? Because on the corner of Clinton and Gregg, there were a lot of winos on the corner. And every Sunday, my mother would let the window down, We didn't have automatic. We cranked the window. Some of y'all don't know that. We cranked the window. Rain coming in the car, it didn't matter. She just cranked the window and let the window down. And she would pray for the people on the corner and tell them, y'all need to surrender and give your life over to Christ. And my sister and I were so embarrassed, we didn't know what to do. And that's why we were saying, green light, green light. So soon as we got there, my daddy could turn that corner so she wouldn't have a chance. But listen, I watched what her praise did. One Sunday morning, we were on the way to church, and one of the winos on that corner, he didn't have a bottle in his hand that Sunday morning. That Sunday morning, my mother always said to him, come go with us. We got room. We can minister to you. We can help you. And I'm like, we don't want them riding in here with us. But see, the Lord will bring you a long way. And Sullivan, here's what got me. One Sunday morning, we get to Clinton and we get to Gregg Street. And when we get to Clinton and Gregg, my sister and I are going, green light, green light, green light. And just as we're almost there, the light turns red. The mom, daddy stop. Here she goes, cranking the window. Here she goes, letting the window down. She said, good morning. Praise the Lord. She said, he woke us up this morning. And the man said, you've been asking me for a long time. And he said, before you almost persuaded me to get in this car and go to church with you. He said, but today I don't have a bottle in my hand. I got my Bible in my hand. And he said, your praise has rubbed off on me, and I'd like to go to church with y'all. My mama said, scoot over and let this man in the car. He wasn't that clean, but my mama said, you better not make no face, either, Junior. You better not make no face. Because I'll take care of you when we get home. I welcome that man, and from that day on, I realized the power of undignified praise. I realized the power of lifting God up in all circumstances. I realized the power of opening up your mouth, letting the words of God come out. I realized the power of ministry, because for months and months, she kept asking this same man, I leave you with this. There's somebody in your family that you need to minister to this week. There's somebody in your family that you need to tell about a man that went to Calvary, that died on the cross, that went down in the grave. You need to tell somebody that he not only died on my behalf, but also your behalf. But then you need to not leave him in the grave. You got to get him up. And say early Sunday morning, he got up out of the grave. But you can't leave him right there. You got to get to the fact that he went up to be on the right-hand side of his father. But that's not the end of the story. You got to tell him he's coming back again. And you got to be prepared to meet him in there. Is there anybody in here that can say this morning that I'll praise him in spite of what I'm going through? Somebody give God praise. Somebody give God praise. Somebody give God praise. Is he all right? Is he all right? Is he all right? Is he all right? Yes, he is. Give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise. Ain't a thing. Ain't a thing wrong with praising the Lord. Ain't a thing wrong with praising the Lord. Ain't a thing wrong with praising the Lord. And I don't care where you do it. Walmart, praise the Lord. Kroger, praise the Lord. I don't care where you do it. Praise the Lord. Popeye's Chicken, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now there's somebody in here this morning that you know that you need to make a move. And now it's time to walk the aisles, and we're going to open the doors of the church. Somebody's been seeking a church home. Somebody know they need to draw closer to him. If you draw not-